Are you ready to ride? It's that time again. Let's ride the Earth ship. I'm Rob, I'll be your pilot and host tonight. We've got Ben here. How you doing, Ben, our co-pilot?
Excellent.
Great. And our other co-pilot, Tammy.
Hey.
Hey. And we got the in-flight engineer and navigator, Mr. Sean Ashley Wilson. How you doing tonight, Sean?
I'm great. How are you, Roy?
Doing great. For the entertainment on this trip, this journey, this flight on the airship that who knows where it's going to go, where we're going to land, but we're about ready to take off, we have Element A440. How you doing? Give us an intro and tell us who you are.
Awesome. I'm Kat. I'm the bass player.
I'm Animal, and I play the fucking drums.
Hey, little guitar, vocals, skin flute.
He's really good at that last one.
Right on.
He's fucking hot.
Wow, that took me off.
Wait, we go.
Behind you back over here is Graves. He plays the guitar, and he's just not talking. He's just playing the guitar right now.
He's just not talking. He's playing air guitar, or he's playing real guitar without
answer?
No,
he's got his guitar in his hand, blood, charcoal, and everything.
Oh, cool.
Wow, awesome.
So he's just, yeah, he's doing his thing. Cool.
He's a man of few words.
But he's doing his thing. That's important.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
So, God, this is one of those shows where I got to be honest. I don't even know where to start because I'm so blown away. And I'm going to be honest. I'm a Trent Reznor, Nine Inch Nails fan, industrial music to the core, without a doubt. I sit down and I watched your guys' videos. And, you know, yeah, I don't even know. How can I say this? Fuck Nine Inch Nails and Trent Reznor because they don't have it anymore. I mean, when they did cover and whatnot, it kind of, I went, and their latest stuff I've heard, I went, they did start something. But what I see you guys doing with industrial music and the videos you have, they're raw, they're hardcore. I'm not even going to talk about the nudity or anything in it, but got to mention that the videos I watched were the uncut versions of the way a video should be for the music you're doing. I was blown away. Without a doubt. Definitely my new favorite industrial group is Element A440. Just want to say that. I got to throw that out there right off the bat. And I don't do that very often. I just got to throw it out there.
He went all fanboy on us.
I'm totally a fan.
Hey, you can go fanboy as much as he wants to.
I'm totally a fanboy. I'm a record label owner, and I'm a fanboy at you guys, without a doubt, at this point. So I'm just going to roll this out and start it out. How'd you guys pull this together? We talked a little bit before the show. A couple of you are from Wyoming or met in Wyoming. You're from different parts of the country. You all wound up in Arizona. You pulled this whole thing together. Let us have the journey, how you got to where you're at right now.
Like you said, all of us are from all kinds of different areas. Halo is actually the one that got this band up and started. It's been kind of his brainchild and his inspiration to get out of Wyoming. We moved down here, went through a couple different lineups over the years, as most bands do, and then we all clicked in together about 2.5 years ago, and it's just been solid ever since. I mean, we've all got a long history of doing different bands, different styles, but until now, we really didn't have anybody that wanted to just hit as hard as we did and run and play and do things as hard as we do.
I can honestly say I've been watching your promotions, and one of the things I do with my record label is artist development. And artist development covers everything for anybody that's a fan out there that doesn't know or new artists in the industry. When I say artist development, it means everything from how to develop your brand, how to develop your image, what to dress, how to dress, putting square boxes on stage when you perform, producing videos, directing videos, doing marketing, pushing everything out there, doing the Facebook, doing all the publications. And what I want to say is you guys have done the best job on your own of artist development of any band I've seen in a very long time. How'd you come about? What was your process? Did you learn from somebody? Did you just do? For me, it's natural. Did you have someone guiding you? Tell me about that.
Certain things, the look was really easy. I mean, that was already something that we did. We did a little bit of refining here and there to give ourselves a slightly more cohesive look. But I mean, it was very comfortable and natural for us. As far as the stage shows and the marketing, the product, everything else, the business aspect, we just spent a lot of time sitting around brainstorming, saying, what can we do now? How can we top ourselves? We did this last time. What are we going to do next time?
So I'm going to ask, normally my other hosts jump in. I've got a lot of questions for you guys that I really want to hammer out because I'm so impressed with how you guys have marketed yourself.
Yeah, and this is all on our own. We don't have anybody that's managing or running it or feeding us ideas. We do this ourselves.
Which just blows me away. I mean, kudos off to you guys, literally. I own a record label, and I bust my ass and beat my head off the wall. I literally have a sign in the studio here that says, any stress therapy, bang head here. And it should say bang fucking head here because I want to beat my head off of that sign all the time when it comes to doing this with some of the artists that I work with because I just want to beat because they just don't get it, and I'm trying to get them to get it, and it's like raising children. It really is, and you guys get it. You guys get it, and mm-hmm. I'm blown away by that. I'm totally blown away by that. What would you say to an upcoming artist or upcoming band that's trying to do what you're doing? What kind of advice would you throw out there?
We've said it many, many times. If you think you're working hard enough, you're not. You need to work harder.
Right.
Yeah.
Who's that speaking? Is that Halo?
Yeah.
Halo, you just became my hero, dude.
It's not a band. It's a lifestyle. It's beyond, work.
It's a full-time job and a half.
Something you wake up and you have to do it to breathe. That's the kind of effort you need to put into it.
And it's not a weekend thing for us. I mean, this is something we're all involved with this 7 days a week. All of us love music. We love doing what we're doing. And it just seemed like it kept growing. Okay, well, if we love doing music, we want to do this. And we have to do that to make that happen. So it's been a pretty organic process as far as pushing out. But
it's more of a sacrifice than anything else because a lot of blood, sweat, tears, hard work, leadership, all that intertwines together to create what we got. It's unity and also camaraderie.
Is that Animal just now?
Yeah, that's Animal.
I know names and I'm getting stage names now. Animal, cool to meet you, man. We've been chatting for a long time. You know what it sounds like to me is love. And love being the passion for something in life and desire being the force that drives that passion. And it sounds like you guys got the passion and the desire to drive what you love.
Yeah, it really is love, man. And it goes far beyond love because when I'm behind my kit, man, it's like having sex.
Oh, yeah. I'm a percussionist, and I'm the same way. When I get up playing percussions, and I do a lot of stuff with funk bands and play a lot of funk and things like that, because that's just what I roll into playing percussions. And when I get in a groove, I mean, listening to the bass line and the rhythm line, that's what I listen to for percussions. And that's like foreplay. When I start playing, that's like making love to the whole thing. I hear you, brother.
Yeah, it's a... My wife, she kind of gets upset with me because, it's just, it's either I have a little time for her and more time for the drum kit. So that's like my mistress.
Now I'm wondering about standing where I do a practice. I'm not sure I want you behind me anymore, dude. I wish you guys could see the look on his face right now.
Well, I'm gonna jump right to the meat of some of your stuff because we're talking about you and everything and whatnot, and I know you got a lot of fans out there. I gotta be honest, we've had bands come on that have won Grammys, been nominated for Grammys, other awards, and we've looked at how many invites, and they've been in 3.5, 5K, stuff like that. But then we look at how many people are gonna show up for the show. And I'm looking at tonight I sit down, I'm like 1.2K invites. That's not very many. But then I looked at how many people are going to attend the show, and you guys topped the list of every show we've had so far on the airship here. And it's just really kind of amazed me. And I was sitting here looking over at Ben and whatnot, and he's looking at the song list. And Ben, you had a question about, the first song that we were going to play up there, Porn Star. Shoot it out to him.
All right. Well, what exactly is that song about? I mean, it's an interesting song title. And,
about walking in a park, on a
sunny spring day.
Running into a hooker, doing some blow.
Right.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The original name of that song was the originally it was called Fuck Love.
Hmm. I want to say it's a killer fucking video. Oh, yeah.
If you saw the inside of our studio, that song would make a lot more sense.
for sure.
I mentioned something about earlier. You said something about the numbers. You know.
Yeah.
That's a very, very interesting topic because, you know, we don't have a lot of numbers, but our numbers are real.
They're loyal. Like,
oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit, they're loyal, what I'm seeing.
Yeah, they are.
It's that simple. Everybody, you know, to me those numbers are just a virtual fucking penis. You know what I mean? Everybody's just trying to outdo everybody else with how many numbers they have. And we don't really give a fuck about that because it's just, you know, what really counts is who's listening and who comes to these shows. And our fans embrace us, so we embrace them.
They believe in you, man.
Yeah. I mean, they can obviously see the passion and stuff that you put behind your music.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what those numbers told me. You're not necessarily the biggest in invites and the biggest number of people that you asked to come and whatnot, but the fact that you've got the highest number of people that said they will attend, that said they will listen and everything, I look at that from a record label standpoint, and I'm like, these guys are onto something. They are definitely onto something.
Yeah. And unfortunately, a lot of people get blinded by their first, you know, sight of, say, somebody's band page or whatever, and they see, you know, 30,000 likes or whatever, and they think that that's means something. Honestly, it means nothing to me. So
no, I'm gonna let you in on a secret. I in the past have done some. I'm not a person that goes out and books. I don't go out and book shows. I do not do that. I've got someone that does do that. I've got a couple of people that do that. Ben here is one of the people that is picking up that task in booking because I hate booking. It's a thankless thing. What I do is I put on events and festivals and stuff like that. Now, I've got people that back me up, and what they say is I walk in, I say, hey, I need money for this festival that I'm doing. It's for this cause and whatnot. And they ask me two questions. The first question they ask me is, how many invites do you have? And I tell them how many, and they total that up. That's one number. Okay, I got 785 invites for one event that I was doing. And they're like, okay, great. How many people have said they'll show up? And I told them how many. They wrote me a check that equaled $1 for every invite and $10 for every person that would show up to the event to support it because it was for a nonprofit and they could write it off. If I take that formula right there from that car dealership that surrounds three states that'll support my events and I apply it to what you guys just did tonight, you just gave me a hell of a wage for the next month to promote other shows and do things more than any other band I think I've worked with. And I'm just, I got to be honest, I'm really blown away by this because I work with all kinds of bands. I'm working with one right now that's been nominated for 21 Grammys and took home 3. They did not do what you did for this show. And I think there's something that, and I keep coming back to that because it just really does blow me away. You guys have got something here. You know, I'm sitting here and be honest, my dick's getting hard thinking, God, could I sign these guys? No, I can't because I really can't support you with what you need. I can't do anything for you that you're not already doing for yourself other than maybe make a few phone calls and give some contacts. I'm just really intrigued by what you've accomplished on your own.
Yeah. It goes beyond like the tour that we're doing here in April. We want to touch base on, I haven't really come up with the name yet for it, but it's going to touch base on that connection because there's something that happens when we perform and I believe it's a connection with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, everybody with their cell phones raised up and recording and, you know, I think they're missing out on what's really going on.
They're missing out on the live, actual, the connection, the aspect, the experience.
Exactly.
They're viewing Yeah, they're viewing everything through a 3-4-5-inch screen instead of, you know, live and right in your face. And frankly, at our shows, not paying attention to a live
action. No, step up to the mic a little bit. We're losing you just a hair there. You drifted away.
And away she went.
Okay. I think that maybe that is all that it is really about, is the connection, because, you know, we're not the best band in the world, you know.
Shh.
And you know, there's plenty of other
hush your mouth
great, there's plenty of other great fucking bands out there, but I just, there's whatever it is that is missing, I don't know, but I believe we have what it is, and I believe that that's the connection.
Good job, Harry.
We're having some controversy in the studio.
I'm gonna.
It's the hard dick thing. Don't worry about that. Halo has that effect on everybody.
I'm gonna intervene for a minute here.
Oh, we have an intervention.
I'm gonna call some serious bullshit on you here. Ben pointed this out to me. We're gonna call bullshit on you. We're gonna cut to a song. We're gonna listen to Porn Star. Not the best band. I'm calling bullshit.
Bullshit.
Let's have a porn star here. Hit it.
Excuse me, I don't mean to bother you, but do you mind slam fucking me for about an hour?
Is it wrong that I was totally aroused by that?
Excuse me, I don't mean to bother you, but do you mind slam fucking me for about an hour? Fucking me for about an hour? For about an hour?
Make me rotten.
And we're back. Yeehaw. In reality, we were
bullshit
in the background, but I've listened to that song so many times that we could sit and, you know, do that off air, off radio stuff that the rest of the public doesn't get to hear. But, you know, if you ever want to come down and check it out and just listen to the sultry shit that happens in the background of the real world of the music industry, give us a call and come on down. We don't mind as long as you're cool and bring entertainment party type favors. Yeah.
Beer.
Okay, porn star.
And beer.
And beer. Beer too. Beer too. Anyway, these guys are cheersing without me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
Tammy,
out here. Are you guys drinking? You guys drinking, doing illicit drugs or anything on your end? Or
elements.
Is anybody having sex or what the hell's going on your end?
Anybody playing the skin flute?
Well, you'll know if you haven't heard from, you know, somebody.
He's a little busy.
You know,
definitely always whiskey going on around here somewhere. So
one day I was sitting in a coffee shop one time and a friend of mine walks in, he drops down a great big video camera on the table, and I know he's doing stuff for PBS and he's producing shows and everything else, and he sets it down on there and he just sets it down. And I didn't even think about it. And I'm like, what are you doing, dude? And he's like, oh, I'm producing a video on safe sex and whatnot. And without even thinking, I'm sitting there, and he's got the camera at the end of the counter. I'm in the coffee shop, my favorite coffee shop called Art Space. And I'm sitting there in front of the camera, and he's next down the row there. And he's like, I'm doing a video on, it's a documentary on safe sex, and I'm interviewing people, and I'm going to clinics and stuff like that. And I'm being a smart ass, and I look at him, and I take a sip of my coffee, and I set my coffee down, and I said, safe sex. And I'm sitting there in a suit and tie, right? The long hair, suit and tie, business exec, all that bullshit.
I remember that version of Rory.
Oh, my God. I take a sip of coffee, and I sit down, and I says, safe sex? And I look over at him, and I take a sip of coffee. I said, solo sex is safe sex. And I set my coffee down. The fucking asshole runs up for the promo for the show.
Oh my God.
On PBS.
Legendary.
For like a month, that is the promo. I couldn't get laid for 6 months. So keep on playing that skin flute, bro.
Oh, Roy, that just tickled me.
Too much, Roy.
I mean,
you know, and
thank you, Adam Stedman.
I have
Billings,
known you,
Montana.
I have known you for a very long time, and I never heard that story. Oh my God!
You didn't watch PBS.
I try to avoid it at all costs.
So, okay. Porn star. I'm not even going to go there. No, that needs no explanation. I've watched your videos, and I would like to know a little bit about your video production process. I've looked at the guy that's directing that is amazing. I mean, I direct music videos myself and have done a great job with that and got a lot of creative ideas. You guys did some amazing work on those, not only with the videography, with the special effects, with the acting. And I guess what I'm asking is, play by play, the actors, the extras, the videography, the direction, how's all that work for you? Fill us in. Clue the rest of the musicians in the world in on that, because your videos, especially the unrated ones that are on Vimeo, I don't get tired of watching them. And it's just because I'm looking at it from a technical standpoint of how they are. I do not get tired of watching them. And every time I watch them, I look at them, I'm like, wow, they did this angle from over here, or they did that angle from over there. It's amazing.
Well, thank you. We have just a large network of friends that are talented as well. You know, I remember a conversation that you and I had before when we tried to do the interview. And I think you mentioned something about, you know, we had to have like a shitload of money or something because they were so good or whatever, produced well or whatever. But, we, you know, the truth of it is we're broke as fuck. And what we do is we pull together all the resources that we can that are looking for their, you know, to get to expose their art as well. So we're all kind of in it together. And I think when you find, you know, a group of people that are all into what they do 100%, it's pretty simple. It's really not even about money anymore.
Right. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I remembered from, I can't remember which video it was, but I seem to remember Naked Fire Dancers, and that intrigued the fuck out of me.
Oh,
because
the Naked Fire Dancers, yes, and the metal flying from the cutting, yeah, torch and the grinders. And
I know.
Halo, I know you're getting your ass fucking burnt in that video, yeah, when the sparks are flying on you. I pity you, bro.
Well, here's, you know, the thing is I'm involved with some belly dancers and fire dancers here in town, and I was like, and some of them do the fire dancing and they get pretty close, but I've never seen anybody do a naked fire dance. I was like, oh my God. And I was just like, hoping to God. I was like, I just don't want to see the outtakes.
I do.
I hope that poor girl was okay.
That stick right there during that video production, because we had Pitt, who was at the very top, doing a blowtorch on a steel piece, mm-hmm, of, yep, metal.
Yeah.
Yep. And the droppings were dropping down, and I got war wounds on my back. The droppings actually went down my back during the performance, and it burned my back, but I still kept on going because we needed that footage.
Yeah, and then chunks of metal still stuck in our skin from that video.
You know, in future, I'm going to tell you this. In future reference, I had a friend that was a magician, learned a lot of tricks. And in future reference, give me a call. I'll come down there with flash paper and make the same effects without embedding it in your skin.
That's not as fun. That's not as real.
We don't fake it.
Yeah.
I'm used to using flash paper and whatnot. But the thing is, even though we got that metal stuck in our skin, we still used that live on stage and still invited more metal in our skin.
Right.
Not only that, but when somebody tells you that a 12-hour shoot is going to take place, don't believe that bullshit, because it almost took a full-on day.
Yeah.
It was like 26 hours.
Yeah. A 12-hour shoot is actually 36 hours.
Yeah.
That's what I plan on when I do it. When someone says, how long is it going to take? I say 12 hours of shooting. Well, that's 12 hours of video. That means 36 hours on location.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
We went to that location. We built that entire set that you're seeing inside the building. There's the scaffolding. We set that up. And it was about probably 4 to 6 months ahead of time, building the costumes, the props, everything. Because we did all of that. Everything that's in there, we built it. We made it. We set it up. We did it ourselves. So 4 to 6 months plus the, you know, 28 hours or so on site. And
we even wrote on the walls with Kiehl's white spray paint.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, the guy was cool about it when we did it at the domes here outside the Coolidge and Kesgram runes.
Well, on your next video, if you need a guy in a kilt working nunchucks on fire, let me know.
Okay, we're going to work a video around that.
So. Yeah, right.
Okay,
Wait, we need to do the freak.
Get rid of the kilt.
Ooh. Nunchucks and fire.
Just nunchucks and fire. And nothing else.
Naked nunchuck fire.
You know what? To be in your video, I'm comfortable enough with myself that I would stand there and do a naked nunchucks with fire on your video. I'm totally comfortable.
And I would charge
it. But I would only do it for you guys.
Can I sell tickets?
No, we'll just cut it off during the video.
Cut what off during the video?
You can start with the kilt. Okay. With our knives.
Ooh. Damn, that sounds like a good party.
You know, you guys think like I do. Great minds think alike. I like that. So I get a question. You know, generally, if normal format for this show, we roll through songs, talk about your history, stuff like that. Talk about your inspiration for the songs, all that and whatnot. I do want to ask about The Sore. Where'd that come from? What was the inspiration for that? Who wrote it? Tell me about the process, the creative process.
That was around the time of, it's similar to NDQ. It was around the time when I had, you know, band members leave and drama. So, you know, it's about, you know, getting rid of the people that are riding the coattails, the people that are really there for a different reason.
Sounds you know, like the vampires.
Yeah, I would say the draining ones.
Yeah.
Getting rid of the vampires.
Yep. You gotta get rid of those energy vampires. That's pretty much, suck that shit right out of you.
That's pretty much what that song's about. It's similar to NDQ, though NDQ, you know, kind of targets a specific event. This is more about a vague, you know, burned by crucifix that I talk about religion.
Flaccid prick.
A flaccid prick is some douchebag that I know. You know, a selfish bitch is, you know, any chick that's ever done wrong. You know, there's a lot of stuff in there, but it all pertains to, you know, the leeches, the whores.
It sounds like it's something, to be honest, it's pretty much from the heart and soul that you put together.
And the gut.
And I mean, although some people might perceive what you're saying as being very, very negative, I don't see it as negative. I see it as holding up a mirror of reflection. Is that how you see it, as holding up that mirror to reflect what people are really doing?
You know, it's really funny you say that, because our music is very, very positive.
Yeah, without a doubt.
If you see it and you don't get it and you think it's negative, then I'm sorry, you're blind.
Get a fucking life.
messages we send, I think, are positive messages. They might be covered in shit, but they're positive.
You know, and I spent over a decade owning a community mental health center, and quite often, I mean, 99.9% of the time, all I did is I held a mirror up in front of people's faces. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they got it. Sometimes they're like, oh, that's fucking bullshit. Why'd you do that? Mm-hmm. Guess what? It's fucking reality, people. Mm-hmm. So with the reality, you ready for it, Sean? I'm ready for it. Let's have the soar and get real for a few minutes. And we're back. You guys, the general public, the rest of the world, everybody in listener land, one of these days, we will just roll it to where you can hear the music and listen to all the back talk that's going on behind and all that wonderful crap that happens behind the scenes on the studio. But not tonight. Not going to listen to it.
Tonight.
Tonight, we've all been a part of it.
Yes.
We have.
Yes.
Mm. We've been a part of contests. Mm-hmm. We've been a part of who gets to be who to play on what because you stroked this of mine, of my ego, and made me fucking feel good in your music song contest and everything like that. No go. Our artist, what, 3 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago, lost. Came in second place on what show was that, Sean?
Star Search.
Star Search. Star Search. Came in second place on Star Search. Okay. He was a loser. A second place loser. Now with a band called World 5. And that band right now has, the combined artists of it have 21 Grammy nominations and took home 3 Grammys, and they lost on Star Search. So much for fucking public competitions. But you just shared a story with us about a public competition. Please share that with the audience. I want them to hear it because I want the audience to know how great they are for appreciating what you're giving them.
I was just explaining that we did a competition in a local radio show here. It's really, really cool that they do it because they're the only ones that I know of that actually support the local scene. And obviously, you know, they get really good ratings because, you know, everybody's listening. but we made the top 5. We never really even entered to intend to win. All we wanted to do is promote. We knew we were never going to win. It wasn't like we really gave a fuck.
It's politics.
But we made it to the top 5, and we were honored. It was great. Our fans helped us out. They showed up. And like I said, we played 2 songs. And after we were done, you know, one of the judges,
DJs,
he said that, you know, he really enjoyed, say, the first song or whatever. And the second song, he didn't really care for it.
I wasn't really feeling it.
Yeah, he's like, you know, it just wasn't doing anything for me or whatever. And I told him, I don't really give a fuck what you think. Because, I mean, he said that in front of everybody, and I think it's that simple. It's cut and dry. I respect him for that. You know what I mean? He told me the way he felt, and I told him the way I felt.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with raw honesty on either side.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I simply just told him, you know, I don't give a fuck what you think, because I'm not writing the song for you. I'm not writing the song for anybody else. Right. This song is being written because I want to write it, and if people appreciate it and they love it, fuck yeah. And if people don't, fuck yeah, dude. I really don't care if they don't like it. Again, I'm not doing it for everybody else.
Right.
Ultimately, we do this because we have to do it. It's a curse. It's like oxygen. We need to do it.
It's in you.
Yeah. I wouldn't exactly call it a curse. I would call it more like it's a drive. It's a passion. It is something that you live and breathe, and it flows through your veins, and you will die without it.
It's just part of it.
Yeah. It's a requirement.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
definitely.
On those dark days, it does. It seems like it is a curse sometimes because, as Animal said before, you know, there are huge amounts of sacrifices that have to be made to put your passion in front of everything else.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah, you can't stop. You can't get off. You can't choose not to do this anymore. You know, you have to keep going.
In other words, this is who we are. You can't change us no matter what.
Oh, God, I love that.
I love that.
That's the statement right there.
I have to say, this is one of my favorite fucking interviews.
This is who we are.
Yeah.
You can't change us. And, you know, as hardcore, and I'm going to for anybody out there that's listening to the show tonight, and I mean, we have all genres on this show and all kinds of people listen, that anybody out there that thinks that a genre like this isn't about love and passion and drive and desire and all the things that are beautiful in life, reevaluate your life, people. Yeah. Because what I'm hearing right now is love, passion, desire, drive.
Honesty.
Pure, did I miss anything?
Raw honesty. You know, and that's one of the things, as I'm sitting here and listening to the music, the first impressions I get are like, my God, they are so honest. They are so raw. And they don't give a flying flickin' fuck who likes it or not. I mean, they're doing it for themselves. It's raw. It's honest. And I think people can see that. And I think that's why your followers are so loyal.
And I'm going to throw it. As we move on to the next stuff and whatnot here, this is a great segue into. I'm going to throw it in for your next song. These guys are not your cookie cutter process band. How's that for a segue? Let's have cookie cutter up, Sean.
My God, I love this.
Excellent. Nobody stamped that out.
No.
We were talking behind the scenes on this about the love and the passion and putting things out there, you know, emotionally, I'm gonna pick on someone. Halo. Emotionally, tell me us about emotionally what this does for you.
What does the band?
The music, putting it out there, sharing it, the creative process, the giving.
Well, at a time, I figured out that I actually loved creating music more so than listening to it. So I don't know. It's everything that is perfect. Like, I guess I can't really explain it, because on stage, I can't even explain that feeling, because it's just perfect. You know, like we'll work, you know, weeks or months or whatever for 45-minute set. And it comes, it goes, and it's nothing but a moment that no thought is really taking place. It's just all spur of the moment vomit.
It's 45 minutes of perfect existence.
Awesome. Wow. I love that. That's that sounds like Nirvana, like Shangri-La. It sounds like you're right there in the rapture of the moment of total perfection. So you got some gigs coming up in our area. We're getting towards that part of the show where we got to wrap things down, and it really, what it is time for some shameless self-promotion. You're going out worldwide. Where are you guys playing out? What's coming up? I know you got some Montana gigs coming up. Let us know what else you got around the country happening.
We have lots going on. We have the tour that we're doing here in April. We're doing a kick that off in Phoenix. We'll be hitting California. We're doing like four cities there. We'll be in LA, Long Beach, Sacramento. Those are all confirmed. I'm still working on another one there. We'll be heading from there to Nevada, to Reno, Nevada, and to Boise, Idaho. And then up into Oregon, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, Spokane, Washington, Missoula, Butte, Billings, all Montana shows.
By the way, if you're in the Montana region, that's the April 21st in Butte and the 22nd in Billings, correct?
Yeah, 21st, 22nd. And
and you're going to stop in the studio on your way through, right?
You better.
I'm gonna put you on the spot here on this one.
Yeah. Like, if we leave the show on the 20th, wait, like, where are you guys at? You guys between Butte?
No, you're gonna leave Butte, and you're gonna come straight to Billings, and then you're gonna head south from there.
It depends on how much alcohol we consume in Butte.
Well, you might be in trouble then.
Yeah. You do realize that's the world's largest Superfund site, so don't get stuck there too long.
And don't drink the water.
The ducks fly in and they don't fly out.
We would love to stop by. You know, it's all about time and timing, I should say.
Sure. I totally understand that. And I know, if nothing else, I get to at least get to see you on stage here in Billings. Winding down the end of the show, that point in time of the night. Sean, what kind of time I got left? Give me some fingers over there. He's giving me, the peace sign. He's giving me the peace sign or victory, one of the two. So that means I got to say our sponsors for the show that made this happen. So sponsors for the show, I'll shout these guys out there. We've got Yellowstone Valley Cellars, woo, Billings' only wine fermenter, and they've got live music, open mic night on Wednesday nights, live music on Fridays and Saturdays. Get out there and have some wonderful vino. I highly recommend the Malbec.
I like the Rimrock Red.
I like the Malbec. It's got a great choke cherry taste and a little bit of black cherry going in with that, and then some lavender on top of it laid in. It's a great wine. If you're not into wine, go to Yellowstone Valley Brewing. Yellowstone Valley Brewing brews some wonderful beer out there. It's also the home of the band Endeavor. Andre is the master brewer there, and he brews his own beer at the brewery there that's bottled under number Lot 13. It's actually a great beer. Personally, at the studio here, we generally have the Black Widow Stout they supply us with. Tonight, they're supplying us with, they also brew gin and vodka, the 40 Love Gin. So get out and hang out with those guys.
Knock you right on your ass.
That's and right. Our other sponsor that we have right now is Legendary Tattoo and Art Gallery, all the way from the House of Ink, Venice Beach, California, world famous. We got those guys here, and they are doing some wonderful tattoos and great artwork. Hey, guys, gals, lady, I'm going to say lady, definitely with a capital L. Wonderful woman. Any lady that can hold up and stand her own playing bass in an industrial band, and a bass player in general, because everybody follows the bass player, and that's all there is to it. And even me. I want to thank you all for a wonderful night.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Yeah, it was excellent having you guys.
It took a little bit of work. We got you here. Look forward to seeing you in Billings, Montana, Idaho, Washington, and along the way. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thank you.